Morning, we're invited to the most important parade in all of human history. If you'd like to be a part of that, looking into the Bible and what Jesus did riding into Jerusalem. Well, the head of the parade, of course, marshaling the parade, is the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, Jesus, the Son of God, the Messiah. He was riding in to save rebellious sinners. Okay, before we knew him or had any praise to him or thanks, he would come give his life for our sins. That's the great love of God. And a couple days before Jesus would ride into Jerusalem, he told everybody he was the resurrection and the life, because he had raised Lazarus from the dead. And some of the people whose lives were changed by that miracle were passing the word on that Jesus was coming to Jerusalem. And of course, that would get everybody pretty excited. Before this, also, Jesus called himself the light of the world. If there's darkness in our soul or difficulty in what will happen next in our life, you know, we need guidance, his word, his light. Jesus being the light of the world, we could trust him with the future. He called himself the bread of life. If we feel there's no satisfaction in the deep part of who we are, Jesus said, come to me, and if anybody does, they won't be hungry or thirsty in their soul. He called himself the good shepherd who lays down his life for the sheep. He said about himself, come to me, all you who are weary and burdened, and I'll give you rest. So that's good news. Supposedly that's one of the best Bible verses in the nation of Japan, who live a very fast-paced lifestyle, work, 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 18 hours a day, and succeed for the sake of yourself, your family, and your ancestors. When they hear God say, come to me and rest, and stop trying to save yourself, you know, let me save your soul and your life, then they respond. Jesus said about himself, he's the door where people come in and out and find pasture. He said about himself a little bit after riding into Jerusalem, I'm the way and the truth and the life, and nobody gets to meet God the Father or go to heaven except through me. So you can see some of the disciples, even though they didn't understand everything, as the passage says, you know, they wanted to know, was Jesus going to save them? Well, he would save them, but not in the way they thought. You know, he would take on their sin and pain and difficulty. And so if you have things that burden your soul, Jesus would come into Jerusalem just for you, as he did for the whole world at that time. And so, without exception, everybody at the parade responded strongly to Jesus. Okay, it was the kind of parade where nobody said, well, we've seen one of these before, you know, what's the big deal? Everybody was like, all for him, or let's get away from him, he's no good. And such is the case today in our hearts. And so many people praised him. Blessed is Jesus who comes in the name of the Lord. Many cried out for help. Lord, save us. That's what the word Hosanna means. It's a simple prayer you could pray if you've never been at peace with God. You know, you feel like, well, I don't know if my sins are forgiven. I don't know if Christ is in my heart. And I certainly don't know if I'm going to go to heaven. I feel like I deserve hell. It's a start. God's speaking to your soul. And if you say, like those people said, with some sincerity and real trust in him, Lord, save us. Lord, save me. You'll find yourself trusting Christ and following him all the way to heaven. And I'm sure that was the case for some of those who said that particular day. And so the people would wave palm branches when Jesus came. It was symbolic of victory. Okay, the Romans were big on victory, so God's people said, well, we're going to have victory too. And Rome had a lot of victories. The city of Rome in the West lasted about 500 years, conquering this, that, and the other. So that's a pretty big deal. You know, twice as long as America, pretty much. Jesus and his kingdom would, if you start when he was born and then people coming to him, 2,000 years, the kingdom of the Lord. And still, growing. Okay? And this, that kingdom's not going to go away. Rome is gone. People in Jesus, they said, Caesar is Lord. And nowadays, nobody says Caesar is Lord anymore. Okay, the old Bible teacher said, name your dog Caesar. And name your pizza shop Little Caesars. But name your Lord Jesus. Name above all names. And King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And so one critical response to Jesus on Palm Sunday was this. Look how the whole world is following after him or running after him. They were intimidated by what was happening. This was spoken by jealous Pharisees. And we have to ask ourselves, sometimes are we jealous of Jesus and his call to be Lord of our hearts? You know, would we rather be, let me be Caesar of my own life? I kind of like that idea. He comes to set himself rightfully on the throne of our hearts. And so to know, just like for the Pharisees, Jesus is bigger than our ways. He's higher than our thoughts. He's bigger than our religious practice. Okay, they were very precious things to the Pharisees that they thought, well, we need these, and Jesus seems to be, you know, more important than that. He is. You know, he is. And for us also, the things we think, oh, this is dear, Jesus, more dear and more powerful. He's the one who would change our soul. And so when they criticize Jesus, look, the whole world is running after him. Of course, it was a figure of speech. They weren't saying everybody in Jerusalem, but they were saying a pretty good crowd here, you know, of all ages. And in a way, what they said began to come true. As Jesus' teaching spread and as he would go to the cross and rise from the dead. Within 40 days after Jesus' resurrection, there would be over 500 people. That's about four times what we is here today. 500 people eyewitness see him. Okay, they would say, he is risen. Okay, so the church went from a smaller group who was convinced, trusted Christ, to 500 plus who would know of the Lord. And within a month after that, there would be 3,000 people. Okay, fill up the Norwin Stadium to overflowing. 3,000 people say, yeah, Jesus is our Savior. And they were baptized and they began to follow him. So God's kingdom began to grow. And in a real sense, in that area, those Pharisees were right. Look, the whole world is turning to him. Oh, my. You know, somebody said in the book of Acts about the followers of Jesus, they're turning the world upside down. Wouldn't that be great? Those 3,000 who met Christ in the book of Acts, they were all from different areas around where Jesus was killed. As they had come to town for the Feast of the Passover and a Feast of Pentecost shortly after that. And they were from places like Egypt. That's out of town from Israel. Arabia, Libya, that's North Africa. Modern-day Turkey, Iran, and Greece. And now Jesus would have followers in those areas. Those folks went back to their homes. And even as far as Ethiopia, where good Rachel Wilson serves, there were people, by the time the book of Acts was written, there were people from Ethiopia who would know about the Lord. So that western side of Africa, that was going to get taken care of by God spreading his word. Look how the whole world has gone after him. Add to those 15 areas, if you just took the cities, major cities of the New Testament where Christians were established, 25 major cities all over the place. Yeah, what? It must be the truth, you know, that the people came and shared about Christ regardless of what cost there were to themselves. They were thankful. By 100 A.D., cities like Antioch, Damascus, which still exists today in Syria, Corinth, Colossae, Philippi, Ephesus, Athens, Laodicea, Jerusalem, Rome, Some of you probably been to some of these places. I know one family, they went to the cities where that were addressed in the book of Revelation, for example. And you could take a tour of those things. The gospel moved forward. And it moved forward through people like, you know, untrained people like you and I. You know, they didn't all have Bibles. They didn't all have scrolls. They trusted God, and they learned from His Word and each other, and off they went. Okay, and it was a powerful thing that God did. And, of course, it was included people like Philip. He was an evangelist. People like Thomas, who was a doubter, but probably ended up spreading the word in India. So now the gospel's in India. And the Apostle Paul and the Apostle Peter. So within one generation of Jesus rising from the dead, the good news had spread over Europe, Asia, and parts of Africa. See how the whole world is following him. And would the Pharisees be able to say that about you and I if they looked at our lives, you know? See how the whole world over there, up there in that Westmoreland County, is following Jesus. Well, hopefully our lives reflect that by the grace of God. And God really did it through His Son. Just to give praises to the Lord coming off of the Palm Sunday and the criticism, you know, how true is that today? How much of the world is following after Jesus? Here's some news from a book called Operation World. Highly recommend it. Gives the nations of the world and how to pray for them and how many people in each nation are turning to Christ and saying, yeah, Jesus is my Lord. You know, in Sudan and Timbuktu and places like that. Okay, but here's the whole world motivated by the Lord's love and His people hearing His word, go and make disciples of all nations. Baptize them. Teach them everything I've commanded you. I'm with you always. Acts chapter 1. You'll be my witnesses. Jerusalem, Judea, to the end of the earth. All the way to Erwin, McKeesport. Pretty much the end of the earth, right? Compared to Jerusalem, yeah. I mean, we're way out there. I don't know how in the world the news got here from so far away. But if you took the whole world and said, okay, if you believe in Jesus, raise your hand. You trust Him. If you believe in Allah, then you raise your hand here. If you're Hindu there and Buddhist there, how many trust in Jesus or the whole world? One third of the world would say, that's me. I trust in Jesus. I certainly don't trust in Allah or the Hinduism or the Buddha. Okay? So that's amazing. Don't tell anybody. 2 billion people in the world today would say Jesus is Lord. Jesus is Lord. And that's an amazing accomplishment that the Lord has pulled off, you might say, through His people by His great love. And we're a part of that move, okay, to honor Him. Notice those stats don't add up to 100%, so that leaves about 30% of the world who aren't Christian, aren't Muslim, aren't Hindu, or aren't Buddhist. They're pretty much saying, well, I don't know who to believe, you know. I'll just believe in myself, maybe. Yeah, that's a popular move, but it doesn't change anybody's life, really. And so God knows there's work to be done. And Jesus said, my Father's always working. And I am working too. And He's working through you and I. We're part of, by the grace of God, we'd raise our hand. I trust Christ, and by His help, I'm going to follow Him. See, and I want to help others to do that too. Because that's what love can't help itself. But say good things about being loved and who we love. How about if you break it down country to country, just a small picture of some major countries here. What about good old USA? Again, these stats are low estimates based on this standard. Somebody would say, I definitely receive Jesus, and I want others to receive Him too. I'm active in that in some manner. Okay? How many people in America? 150 million. That's fantastic. Not quite half, for sure. Some well hidden, some not too active, some absent today, you might say, in worship and so forth. But 150 million. It is a fact, which we should be thankful for, since we're still about 6 months away from football season. If you took any Sunday throughout the year, any Sunday throughout the year, more people come to worship Christ on any Sunday than all the fans who go to all the NFL games, I think it's for the whole season, something like that. So, hooray for the Steelers, but hooray for the Lord, okay? That's how you do. 150 million, and God has spread His word. And we recognize sometimes we have a small part in that, and we maybe don't do too well. I was thinking of my own life, and just to motivate you, because I know God motivates through His love. When I think of the things I do or participate in as a Christian, asking others to receive Christ, or saying, you know, Jesus has done this, and He really does love you. That usually comes in last of what I do. I don't know how you analyze your own life. On any one given week, I spend hours in worship. And I spend hours in prayer. And I spend hours in Bible study. And I spend about a minute on a good week, you know, reaching out to somebody who I think this guy, he'd really be helped by the Lord, and I want to pass on some news to him. And so, but it doesn't have to be a minute, you know. It could be a bigger part of what we think, what we say. It's part of our responsibility, you might say. We're responsible to God, and He helps us, and we want to do that. And I think you know in your own soul, just to say, Lord, give me that love and straightforwardness to pass you on to other people. And you might have heard the old story of, it's a kind of a rough story, but the guy comes to church on Easter. It's the only time he's been in church. And so for the year, and the pastor looks at him, you know, kind of scornfully and says, you're the guy who only comes on Easter, huh? And the man said, no, I'm the guy you and your church are supposed to be inviting all year long. Okay. Whoa, you got me on that one, you know. And so the thoughts of the responsibility we have, the gladness we have passing on the good news of Christ, even with the small efforts, God has brought many to Himself. So we're thankful. How about the country of China? Great country, you know, 70 years ago, 100 years ago, not many followers of Christ. Now, about 10% of their country say, I believe in Jesus and I'm following Him. And if you say that in China, you know you got to believe it, because the heat's going to be on. Okay. And so many great things happening there. Fastest growing church in the world, in the nation of China. Christians, that is. Next, India, big country, moving up to about 7% of India saying, I trust Jesus. I'm going to spread the word about Him. India under great heat. Recently, the government said no more Compassion International as an organization in India. 400,000 children who were given support and prayer. You know, none of that, no more, get out. But still open doors for things like Billy Graham, crusades, and things like that. And the people in India, hey, same deal. Those 50 million are passing on good news. And we could say about China and India, see how the whole world has gone after Him, after Jesus. How about Indonesia, most populated Muslim country in the world, 30 million true believers. Alliance has missionaries there. Most likely has missionaries in Creative Access Ministry in China and India. How about our friends in Ethiopia? 25 million people. I really believe in Christ. Not a majority. And under great persecution, you know, always unrest, attack on the government. The government's fairly stable, but God passing on good news, Rachel Wilson right in the middle of it all. How about Egypt? Ever since the book of Acts, believers in Egypt, bombed apparently recently. I missed that news, but church is bombed. 5 million. Hey, well, I'm going to believe in Jesus and follow him, spreading the word. How about hard-headed Russia? And there, I'm a Russian, so I could say that. The 4 million, not a ton, not counting Orthodox Christians, who probably a lot of them know Christ and follow him in the Russian Orthodox Church. But 4 million Alliance missionaries there also saying, no, we're going to follow Christ and spread news about him. And Mr. Putin says, don't you spread news outside the church about Jesus. And Jesus said, you're not stopping me, Mr. Putin. Okay, we're going to say, look how the whole world has gone after him. Japan, rough country in terms of despair, 1 million believers. Iran, that's one of the toughest places to follow Jesus. Still, 200,000 talking person to person, hearing about Christ on the radio, internet. In dreams, Muslims wake up and say, I think I need Jesus. I had this dream. I heard about him, but now I got the dream about him over here. Even Israel, okay, who's staunchly toward pretty much just seeing the Old Testament, 50,000 saying, yes, we trust Christ. How can we be a part, look how the whole world's gone after him. By the way, 10 years ago, it's the first time in history, there's Christians in every nation. Whatever nation you can think of, there's Christians in that nation. For the first time in history. That's unbelievable that the Lord would do that with such faithfulness. Not unbelievable, but we rejoice. How can we continue to be a part of seeing the whole world go after him, as a figure of speech? In other words, as many as possible. Be an authentic, caring friend. Share your life, your love with others. Your life is the good news. People read the Bible this week by reading you. And God's faithful. God wouldn't have wrote you as a letter if you were going to be a horrible story. And even if you're a horrible story, maybe the lesson they want to know is, don't be like that Christian. Well, everybody has a purpose. But to really know Christ, well, even that guy, if he could keep following Christ, maybe I want to trust and follow him too. Be an authentic, caring friend. Show the great love of Christ. This is the big one that we want to get more. We want to more prioritize, put it that way. It's hit me on Wednesday. We're sharing about family gatherings at Easter and so on. So I'm thinking, I go with my family. There's about 12. Maybe 15 tops who would all come at one time. And if the question rose, who goes to church most among the Daniels family extended? They would say, Bob. Bob goes to church most. Who prays the most? It's Bob again. Who reads the Bible the most? Bob, Who loves the most? Not Bob. Okay. And then that's a fair analysis. I'd come in about fourth or fifth, I think. And we got some loving people in my family. But as a priority that God has and you and I have, we want to get that love to the top. We want to the love of Christ in us, on behalf of others, demonstrated at the cross. And so it's a great thing to pass on the way Jesus is for others. And then tell someone how Jesus is changing your life, giving us the strength we need, peace when we're really under the gun. We have a place to go to cry. We could cry on His shoulders. He tastes every tear. There's a place in heaven for us. He says He would do, even share about sins in your life. See, I'm a very impatient person, but I read the Bible and say, God is patient, and I want Him to work that way. You're sharing about Jesus changing your life. Well, I'm an angry person, you know, I like to... God is not easily angered, and so you share about how He's helping you with that. I've thought about the pornography problem. You know, the guy says, every time I see the internet, I see naked people. You know, what am I going to do? And if I see one more naked person, I'm not going to wear any clothes the rest of my life myself. You know, that's an exaggeration. But you could share. But I know, even though that's out there, that Jesus creates people in His image, and He has unconditional respect for them. Okay, and he loves people, and He helps us be in relationship, so that I can have friendships and family and closeness, so I don't have to look at the naked person and say, well, maybe I could be close to that one. You know, that's how it works in the soul. That tell how Jesus is changing your life, and God's faithful to do that. And just a closing story, a true story of a man who saw a lamplighter. This is from the old country here. A lamplighter was somebody who went around the town and lit lamps so that there could be streetlights. Now we have lamps by the house, maybe of electric or gas and so forth. But he was a lamplighter in a town, and so one person wrote this. A man passed by my window, and it was the old lamplighter. He lifted his pole to light the lamp, and he lighted it. He lighted it. First one, and he moved on, and then another, and then another. And soon I couldn't see the lamplighter at all. The only thing I could see was the places where he had been and the lights that remained. Until at last, he left a whole town of lights lit up from the light he had been given. And when you think of the truth of who you are as a Christian, and look how the whole world's coming to Jesus, figure of speech, you're a lamplighter. And we could tell where you've been by the lights that have been lit. Okay, the lights that have been lit. You don't always know if you lit it or not. God will light it for you. But you go from place to place. Christ is in you there and here. And pretty soon, maybe a whole neighborhood, maybe a whole town, a whole school, or a lot, to the point where, say, the whole world seems to be turning to this Messiah. And it's good to be a lamplighter and watch as God turns the world to Himself. So let's pray together, please. Lord, thank You for coming to Jerusalem and what was said, what was shouted. Lord, save us. Blessed is Your name. The whole world's going after Him. And we want that to be coming true. We know in history, Lord, it'll be Your name above all names, and some will confess Jesus is Lord and go to heaven. Some will confess with a bent knee and reject You. But the point is, Your name is changing lives. You change us. So help us be those good witnesses that You made us to be, not by what we do, but just by Your greatness in us. Encourage each one, Lord. I thank You for the 100 lamplighters here this morning. They love You. They do what You call them to do, and it's an exciting life and exciting week ahead. So bless everyone real good. In Your name we pray. Amen.